Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Blues Purple Hearts Goes to the USA by Jerry C. Blanton is a historical tale illustrating what it was like to live through chaotic times in the 60s and 70s. A young man faces racial prejudice, homophobia, and mindless acceptance of the war as he soldiers through those turbulent years in the swamps of Florida. Called The Difficult Time of American History, Portrayed with Truth and Feeling. Jerry has taught high school English, managed a bookstore, served as an academic dean, worked as a copywriter, proofreader, English professor, and writer. He's written more than 30 books that include mysteries, short story collections, sci-fi novels, and poetry. An accomplished artist with some 20 oil paintings and numerous drawings, Jerry has illustrated some of his books. Currently a writing tutor for Miami-Dade College and an editor for a local magazine, Jerry has three children, two grandchildren, currently resides in Homestead, Florida. Jerry Blanton, author of Bruised Purple Hearts, Ghost of the USA, is our guest on This Week in America. Jerry, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's good to be here.
I love what you've done with the book, the story that you tell in growing up in that era. I can thoroughly relate to what the story, and it's fascinating reading as the story unfolds. Talk about the inspiration for writing the book. Where did this idea come from to focus on in that turbulent time in history?
Well, basically that's it. It was a turbulent time. It was hard for everybody. If you were young during that time, because you had that choice, you know, do I go to Vietnam or am I against the war? What do I do? And no matter the choice you chose, your life was not going to be easy. So in this story, the two main characters are twins, Matt and Max. Matt is the narrator of the story. He tells the story. And so I was inspired to tell what it was really like during those times, the truth about the situation, so that everyone understands just how hard it was on most of us. And Matt is against the war, and Max is not for the war, but he's ambitious enough that he knows that if he joins ROTC, R-O-T-C, and goes to and becomes an officer, that this will get him a head start on his career. And so he plans to do that. Well, his twin decides, no, he's not going to do anything that supports the war because he's totally against it. And so I'm telling that story and two ways of approaching it. And I knew people that did both. So I have insight into both. And I have friends that served in the military. One died from cancer during the war. He was exposed to microwave on the radar, and he developed testicular cancer. And for a young, and he died when he was 19 years old. I use him as one of the characters in the story too, And then I knew people that, they went into the Air Force because they knew they probably wouldn't be in combat if they were in the Air Force unless, you know, somebody mortared the airbase, which can happen or could happen during that time.
Yes.
And a lot of soldiers developed relationships with the Vietnamese women, and that was an interesting development, too. And I've known a couple of like that. And then I've known guys that went in gung-ho, you know, like one of my friends from high school volunteered as a Green Beret. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He wasn't in the Green Beret. He was in, I had that misperception, but he corrected me the last time I talked to him. He said, no, he was in the 82nd Airborne.
Oh, okay.
Which is still pretty tough.
Yeah. I'm impressed with both. Yes.
Yeah, he got wounded half a dozen times and kept going back. And he had trouble when he got back because he didn't know what to do with himself after being in combat so much.
And you hear that so often. So, and as you're going through the different characters, boy, I can relate to people that I knew, everybody trying to make the decision that was right for them. ROTC. I could remember thinking, you know, to ROTC or not to ROTC. There were advantages of doing that as you were going off to college. So many of those issues come back to life in Jerry's book, Bruised Purple Hearts, Ghost of the USA. You'll find it at Amazon, the usual places. Jerry's website as well, author Jerry C. Blanton, BLANTON.com. You hinted at some of the events in the book, stories might have happened to you. How much of the book is based on some of your own experiences?
Well, I would say approximately a third, since I got a deferment for teaching in disadvantaged areas. So a lot of the teaching experiences that you see in the book are based on things that happened to me. And also I had two marriages during that time, neither of which lasted. And part of that was due to the war, I believe, you know, because it messed up. The women had ideas about what they wanted to do, but you couldn't do that because you had to do this. So I would say about a third of the book, which is the teaching experiences and the two marriages that Matt has, are pretty much based on what happened to me. But, you know, another third would be like the research, what was going on in the United States and around the world at that time. I had to do research to make sure all of those were placed in the right years and so on. And then, of course, I made up a lot of characters, too. And so that's the other third of the book, the invention, the fictitious inventions make up another third of the book. So
how about Max?
Yeah.
I was just going to ask about Max. Was that a character that you based on someone you knew, or was that invented?
No, I he's entirely made up.
Okay.
I thought it would be a good balance if I had twins, one going through what I went through and the other one taking a different route, which I knew people did, but having them come to similar conclusions by the end of the war.
The book we're talking about is Bruised Purple Hearts, Ghost of the USA. Critically reviewed, rave reviews that Jerry's been getting. Jerry C. Blanton, the author, our guest on the program. Matt had a gay friend in the story. Did you have a gay friend as Matt did?
I didn't know any gay people until I was 14 years old. So up to 14, I just thought, well, it's kind of weird that people, because I didn't understand what it was. And I thought, you know, because what was the idea going around that time is people chose to do that, you know, and I thought, gee, there doesn't seem to be any upside to being homosexual. So I wonder why people do that. And then when I was 14, I met a 12-year-old who was gay, and he was already gay, but he didn't let me know until he knew me about a year, and then he let me in on the fact that he was attracted to guys. And it was so natural to him that changed my thinking. I thought, maybe this is not a choice. Maybe there's something chemically inside gay people that they don't really have a choice. They just happen to be attracted to the same sex. And just like heterosexuals are attracted to the opposite sex. And I think it's pretty well set now that that is what's going on here. You know,
yes,
that it's, through your genetics, you are headed in that direction.
You know, you talk about some heavy topics in the book, Bruised Purple Hearts, Ghost of the USA, talking about the turbulent times of the 60s and 70s, and you have to do that. You've got the civil rights, you've got protest, you've got this war, people being blindly led into war. But you do some things in there to maybe lighten it up a little bit. Talk about that and maybe striking some type of balance in the presentation of the story.
Well, there are some humorous things that happen. the experience working out at Cape Kennedy was kind of humorous. And at the same time that, you know, there was one summer, well, during the, I think it was between their freshman and sophomore year, Matt and Max got jobs out at Cape Kennedy to make some money to go back in the fall. And I also met my first love, Julie, who is not a real character either. She's sort of a composite of people I've known. And so you have in that unit, you have romance and some laughter and funny experiences that because Matt learned that the one thing he should never be is a bureaucrat, because he did not fit into bureaucracies. He learned that by working at the Cape. But of course, his brother prospered, because he said, "Oh, this is, I can say I had secret clearance." Because, you know, I worked in the mailroom, and so they both worked in the mailroom.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And you automatically have secret clearance, because you are handling mail that's coming from the White House, the Senate, the Congress, and they have to be expedited.
You know, it's such a fascinating read. And talk about that aspect, what it was like going back, thinking about that time in history, reliving obviously some memories that you had that you incorporated in the story Bruised Purple Hearts, or that was sort of the basis for inventing other situations. What was that like to go back and focus on that particular point of your life?
Well, there was some, it was hard at times, because I suffered during those times, but now it's been a long time ago. It's history now. It's no longer yesterday's news, you know. It's history.
Yes.
So it gives you a different perspective on it at this point. But I still had to tell the truth. For instance, the systemic racial prejudice that existed at that time and somewhat still exists. But for me as a teacher, it was a time when I realized there are teachers that hate black people and they hate Mexicans, and I had this is not necessarily in the book, but I remember I met a whole cabal of teachers that hated black people, and they wouldn't teach them. They would just let them sit in the back of the class, and they would teach the white kids up front. And I knew one teacher who had that feeling about Mexicans. He would put all the Hispanic kids back in the back, not teach them, but he would teach the white and the black kids up front. And his reasoning was, they're not Americans. I don't have to teach them.
Wow.
And so it was pretty shocking.
Yes. Jerry Blanton is our guest on the program, the author of Bruised Purple Hearts, Ghost of the USA. Book available at Amazon, the usual places. Jerry's website is authorjerrycblanton.com. And you can link on by going directly to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Boy, time is going by so quickly. So much to talk about. An excellent job with Bruised Purple Hearts. And I mentioned all of the writing that you've done. I mean, it's been extensive. Talk about that and the kind of success that you've had, because you've received some excellent reviews with all the different types of genres that you've written.
Well, it's been interesting. I started young and I just kept writing and I couldn't stop writing. And I think that, I concentrated on small stories and poetry. And my first success came with poetry, because I had some poems that were in contests, had honorable mentions. And, so I knew I could write poetry. And some of the first books I published were poetry books. Then I got into writing fiction, and I actually wrote 10. And when I first started writing, I was using a manual Remington typewriter, if you remember those.
Oh, quite well, yes. Struggle with many, many times with one of those.
And then in the 70s, I got an IBM Selectric. I thought I was in heaven.
Oh, yeah.
And and then in the 90s, of course, computers became available, and then I really was in heaven. And but I, that's when I really started turning out the novel-length manuscripts. I actually had a couple agents back in the 70s and 80s, and but they couldn't sell anything, and so I wrote quite a few manuscripts that were never that never saw the light of day. And in the 90s, I started, because of the new technology, I thought, you know, I could self-publish some of these things that I can't get traditional publishers interested in. And I started self-publishing some of my mysteries, especially. And then the ninth mystery, I got some good, like I entered about four of my mysteries in Writer's Digest mystery contest for self-published authors, and all four got pretty good grades. They were grading them on a 4-0 scale, and two got 3.8, which is an A. One got a 3.6, which is an A minus, and the fourth one got a 3.4, which is a B plus. So I figured, hey, that's not bad. The best of the mysteries is Silent Partner, though. I got 4-star reviews. It's rated, it has now on Goodreads a 5-star rating. And so I'm really proud of that book. And others, so I have gotten good reviews on almost all of them. When I started doing the historical writing, I found that that is one area where, because I've always been a history buff, so I working the history in and everything came fairly easy for me. And even though they took longer, like a mystery I can write in 4 to 6 months. But a historical novel, I find, because you have to do a lot of research.
Yes.
I'm heading to like two and a half years usually is the standard for a historical novel. I'm still writing rapidly, you know, I just... and because I am a writer, you know, that's
yes,
my life.
Yes. Well, you'll find all of Jerry's books at his website, authorjerrycblanton.com. That's B-L-A-N-T-O-N. All of the books there, the one we focused on during the program, Bruised Purple Hearts, Ghost of the USA. You did a blog for a while as well. How did that go? How much fun was that?
I did a blog for 2 years, and it was, I had followers. Not that many. I think at the maximum I had around 30. But they enjoyed my work, and I put a lot of my poetry on the blog. I put short essays, stories, and I got a lot of good feedback. And what I did is at the end of each year that I was blogging, I did it for 2 years. So I think it was 2011 and 2012. And then at the end of each year, I would collect them into an anthology for that year. And that's how they were published. And both blogs are on the Goodreads program, too.
It's interesting. I mean,
the collections.
Yeah, such a talent that you have all across different genres. I would describe you as a constant writer. It seems like you were always working on something. What are you working on now? Got any projects you want to talk about?
Yeah. Well, I've got another mystery.
Ah, okay.
It's ready to go. But the one that is at the publisher right now, of course, I want to get that one finished before I give them another one. So I have one, and then I have about a half of a manuscript in that same, another mystery. I've written a fantasy novel. I've never done that before, but it came to me in a dream, as a matter of fact. And the dream was about a warrior's nun that assassinated the lord of a castle. And I woke up from that dream and I said, wow, this is pretty weird and fantastic. I wrote it all down that night. I put it on my Facebook page. I have a writing Facebook page. I have a regular Facebook page and then a writing Facebook page. And I put it on my writing. I got a lot of positive reactions to that. So I said, I'm going to turn this into a novel, and I did. So that one's ready to go too, but I don't have a publisher, and so I'm trying to figure out what to do with it. Because it's probably one of the most imaginative things and also one of the craziest things I've ever written. So I'm not sure who's going to like it, you know.
Well, I hope we have a chance to talk about that. That sounds everything you do is so fascinating. We could spend a whole program on each of the topics that that you write about. I got a couple minutes left in the program, and I mentioned you do a lot of teaching, writing. Do you have a preference? Yeah. And are you a better writer than you are a teacher?
Well, I have to say that given my history, I'm an excellent teacher, and so I know that. I've had great success teaching, and it's been and very rewarding, too, and I love doing it. And I didn't know that because, remember, I got into teaching because of the war.
Yes.
Once I started teaching in these disadvantaged areas and realized I could actually get to it and these people would learn from me, suddenly I got into it. And so I've kept teaching my whole life, too, besides writing. That's why I still, you know, I'm a writing tutor now at the end here, but I still enjoy helping people and making them better writers myself. So yeah, I would say that I'm an excellent teacher. I'm a good writer and getting better.
Well, I would say you're very humble. I think you do an excellent job in writing, and the reviews would go along with that. And that, not even mentioning the drawing and the painting that you do so well. A minute or so left here. I need to ask you this. You started writing poetry when you were 3 years old. What in the world prompted a three-year-old Jerry to start writing poetry?
Well, the reason I could write at three is I had an older sister who was 2 years older. So she was in first grade when I was three, and she would come home from first grade and I would bug her about, what did you learn today? And so she would teach me whatever she learned about the alphabet and words and so on. And so I was learning at 3 years old what she was learning at five. At the end of her first year, she challenged me to a writing contest, and she said, let's both write something and then we'll compare them and see who wins. I said, okay. So since my imagination is always there, I invented this and I wrote a long poem and illustrated it about people that lived under the earth and were chanting and drumming and trying to draw regular earth people down into the earth. And so the character in the novel, he finally goes down with some other people. They're scared when they go down, but when they finally get and they meet the people under the earth, they find out they're congenial and kind. And so it turns into a good experience. So when my sister said, okay, today's the day. And she said, we'll read yours first and then we'll read mine. So I let her read mine. And when she finished, she looked at me and she said, you win.
She conceded.
And she wouldn't let me read hers.
I love that. She conceded. Did your mom happen to save that poem?
Yeah, Mother put it in a scrapbook, but I don't know where that scrapbook is now. I don't know what happened to it.
Probably with the baseball cards. Too bad stuff like that. It ends up disappearing. I'm sure you'd get a kick out of that if you went back and took a look at that today. It'd be fun to share as well. Jerry, it's been so much fun having you on the program. There are so many facets, interesting facets of your life, and you've done an excellent job with the book we're talking about, Bruised Purple Hearts, Ghost of the USA, the book available at Amazon, all the usual places. Check out Jerry's website. You'll see some of the illustrations there as well, information on the books. It's author Jerry C. Blanton, BLANTON.com. And, of course, you can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Jerry, it's been fun. Time's gone by too quickly. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Well, I enjoyed it. It was a good time. Thank you, Rick.
It was fun. I, a very talented writer, and delighted that we could spend some time together here and hopefully be able to do that again. Jerry Blanton, author of Bruised Purple Hearts, Ghost of the USA, one of over 30 books that Jerry has written. Find all the information on his website. Our website as well, thisweekinamerica.us. Back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.